Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we continue our sermon series, Living Through Philippians. And part of the cool part about the series is we're working sequentially through the book of Philippians, covering it all, unfolding the little gems where God speaks into our lives.
Now, as such, doing this sequentially, it's often good to remember what we talked about last week.
So if you remember last week, we talked about embracing the tension, about being born into a life on earth and life in heaven. And Paul gave us this wonderful example, because Paul was in prison, he was persecuted, and he was ready to heaven. He was ready to be home with Jesus. But even in the midst of that desire, Paul decided that he would not neglect the work God had for him on earth.
And he gave us this great example to follow, that we should always have our eyes on heaven,
looking forward to that prize that Jesus has won for us. But while doing that, we do not forget that he has work for us to do here until that day he calls us home.
Now, as we move on to our text today, Paul is working directly off that text.
And he's talking about, well, how do we live on the lines here? He opens with this verse. Only let the manner of life be worthy gospel of Christ. Paul stated here that is how we are called to live,
a life that is worthy of the gospel. So what does that look like?
What does that mean? What does a life worthy of the gospel of Christ entail?
And Paul, he helps us out.
He gives us a blueprint a few verses later and says this: complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love. That's Paul's description of us. To be of the same mind and to have the same love. Now, as I look at this, I wonder, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be of the same mind?
So, like many of you, when you don't know something, I Googled it.
I Googled to find being of the same mind. I wonder now, what does that mean? What's Paul getting at here? This is what I came up with. Of the same mind, having the same thoughts, ideas, and opinions about something. It just kind of struck me hearing this. Well, when was the last time you had the same thoughts, ideas, or opinions about anything as anyone else? And it's kind of funny, in the world today, there are so many thoughts, ideas, and opinions about just about every topic, and we rarely share the same thought or opinion about something as someone else.
A few weeks ago, Pastor Chad had a great sermon talking about the instability we experience in our world today.
How the fact that we are not of the same mind leads people of opposing ideas and opinions
to oftentimes show hatred towards one another, to show a lack of discourse. And it all comes down to this idea that we aren't of the same mind. Instead, we are of our own individual minds.
And it's no secret that today the divide is greater than it was decades ago. It's getting worse. But one thing I know about is that we've kind of been setting ourselves up for this for a long time. We've been setting ourselves up for this divide. It's kind of in ourselves, in our American philosophy. And I think there's one factor that contributes mightily to this polarization of our country. And I think that's the philosophy of American individuals.
Now, as we talk about this, I'm going to define it with a basic definition. American individualism is the idea that an individual should possess the freedom to define himself.
And that's the concept that this country was built upon. That we have these inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those are good things.
It is good that we have a constitution that protects our individual rights, that protects us from oppression by government, and
most importantly, protects our freedom to worship. And I am blessed to live in that country,
to live in a country like this, where my individual freedoms and my value as a child of God is protected.
But I wonder, in this value system, did you ever choose to honor? Did you ever let this idea of individualism hurt us? Do we ever let it hurt the church? Do we ever let it hurt God's mission on earth? Because I think it can do. I think we let this individualistic society hurt God's mission. And let me show you what I mean by that. So I've got a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was an individualistic philosopher.
Sometimes when peer pressure pulls us to do the wrong thing, to do something that God tells us not to, sometimes being myself in that moment, being a child of God, is a great accomplishment. But there's also a problem that comes along with this. A problem with our main goal always being ourself. Because oftentimes what becomes most important is ourselves, is what we need, what we want, and what we think. And what happens is we let individualism emerge from power. And in true individualism, the interests of the individual always come before the needs of others. And this is the problem with this idea. This American individualism, it is good in theory, and it's good in certain ways, but we can take it way too far what our interests are. Now, last time I checked, it's not how Jesus called us to live. Last time I checked, it's not his will or his way. But my needs always come first. Life doesn't work according to God's will. And what's happening in our society is rather than allowing God's word and his will to norm our lives, what we've done is we've come to a place of moral relativity. What is right and what I should do is always based on how I feel. That's how this world works. Everyone is doing this, and so no one is of the same mind. Because we're all doing what we think is right, what we want. There is no moral standard. And in this individualism, God often is forgotten. And it's present even in our church. And it's not hard to see the damage that it does. It's this individualism that convinces kids that they don't need to listen to their parents. That they can dishonor and disobey them because they think their needs are more important than what their parents say is right. It's this individualism that allows us to bully and gossip and ruin the reputation of others because it makes us feel better. It's this individualism that allows us to put money before our family, our friends, and even our faith. It's this individualism that allows us to rationalize premarital sex and pornography and affairs and other sexual relationships outside God's will. It's this individualism that allows a man to think that he can take whatever he wants from a woman. It's this individualism that convinces us that it's okay for a woman to choose to end the life of a child because that child doesn't fit into her current plans. It's this individualism that allows us to reason our way out of marriages that aren't as pleasant as they used to be. This individualism says, I can do it my way, how I want, when I want, because it's what I want. And all of this, with all of us doing what we want, putting ourselves first, putting our interests before others and before God, so many people simply say, I don't need God. His interests don't lie with mine, and so I'm going to go my way. Simply put, with all this individualism coming to fruition like this, we rarely are of the same mind or love as any of us. Honestly, the same only mind that we share in common, the only love we share in common, is that we all love ourselves. And that's what this world has come to. It's not just America, it's not just American individualism, because this is part of our sinful human nature, that our interests should come first. And often, they do come first. But here's the thing. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and yourself. Scripture tells us that if you try and serve two masters, you will end up loving one and despising the other. And oftentimes, we let ourselves despise God's will and his way because it's not what we want. And we see the habit that wrecks in our world. The habit that wrecks in our lives. The habit that wrecks on any kind of togetherness and Christian unity. And that is why Paul is addressing this text. That is why he is getting in front of it, because he knows the hearts of human beings. He knows that we often put ourselves first, over and over and over again. So he tells us, he tells these people in Philippi to be of the same mind and of the same love. Then he goes on further to explain what that really looks like. And he says this, but in humility, count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And look what we are called to do. We are called to count others as more significant than ourselves, as more important, and look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. How different is that than this American individualism idea? This idea that being myself is the most important thing I can possibly do. That's not what we're called to do. That's not what Jesus is telling us to do. And the most important line in this verse is the last one. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Because that is the mind that Paul is telling us to have. We must be of the mind of Christ. Remember back a few weeks, we had a sermon text from Ephesians chapter 6, the body of Christ. And you guys have heard this text before. Paul compares us all to parts of the body of Christ. Eyes and ears and hands and feet. And each has its own purpose. And this ties in perfectly to this concept of individualism. Because we are all different. We all have different skills and talents and passions intended to do different things, but all to serve the same purpose. And that's the problem. Too often we take those passions and those talents and we use them for us. But God is calling us to use them for Him. And that is what Paul left out of that body of Christ analogy. He left out the mind. Because the mind is not ours, it is Christ. The body of Christ must share the mindset of Christ. It is Christ and His will and His purposes that must guide us as the body of Christ. In the mindset of Christ, it's crystal clear. He wanted one thing above all us, and that was to have His people, His creation, with His Father in heaven. To have them be part of that paradise that we were created to enjoy. But there was a problem. He looked at us and He saw our sin. He saw our individualism. He saw our inability to count others as more significant than ourselves. Our inability to even consider the interests of others most of the time. And He saw that we had no merit in us whatsoever, and that on our own we were condemned to death and eternal condemnation. And Jesus Christ, He made a choice. He made a choice to count us as more significant than Himself. And so He took that sin, He took that selfishness, and He put it on Himself, and He suffered in unimaginable ways for us. Because He counted us more important than Himself. And in doing so, He conquered death in the grave. He conquered that sin in our lives, and He opened the door to everlasting life. Because of His humility, because of Him counting our interests as more important than His own, we have forgiveness. We have eternal life. That is the mind of Jesus Christ. The mind of Christ is this. Simply this. To see all people in heaven, even if it cost Him His own life. Look at what our Apostle has to say about that. Greater love is none other than this, that someone lay down His life for His friends. He loved us that much. He wanted our salvation that much. That is the mind of Christ, letting nothing get in His way to see that His love is shared and that His people are saved. And so, with that love, with that inheritance that we have all received, that we will receive today at His altar, we have a responsibility to live our life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. That gospel is that Jesus died for us. He died for our sin, that we might be saved, even if it cost Him His own life. A love like that deserves a response. A love like that demands a response. And I don't say demands in a way to say, do this or that. But rather, demands because how could we not? How could we not receive a love like that and want to share it? It's the greatest gift that has ever been given. And it's a gift that must be shared. So how do we respond? What is the way that we as Christians respond? And do what Paul said. We have the same mind and have the same love. And that is the mind of Christ. Because we are the body of Christ. We are His hands and His feet and His voices. And we are individuals, like I said before. We all are different and beautifully created. But we must serve the same purpose. We must serve His purpose. His mindset. And the mindset of Christ is clear. Just look at the gospel. What did He do? He taught and He healed and He served And most importantly, you have not been getting in the way of getting people in heaven. That's our purpose as well. To make sure that as many people as possible know his love. That as many people as possible can have that blessing among us. That is the call of the Christian life worthy of the gospel. And here's the thing. Sometimes we're going to be worthy. Sometimes we're going to fail. That individualism, it's part of us, and it's going to continue to poke its ugly head. We're going to continue to put ourselves first. We're going to continue to count ourselves as more important than others, as more important than even God. And we're going to fail to look at the interests of others over and over again. And when we do that, we trust in his word. We trust in his forgiveness. We look to the cross, and we remember that he is never tired of redeeming us, of forgiving us. And just as we go later today at this altar, we will receive his renewal, we will receive his forgiveness, we will be washed clean once again. And then, what's important is that we turn back around and let that love that we have received flow back out into the world. This gift that we've been given, it is the greatest gift that has ever been given, the greatest love that has ever been shown, and it is a gift that is meant to be shared, a gift that we are called to share through our words and our actions. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet and his voices. And we have the responsibility of sharing his love, of making it known to the whole world. So let us, as his hands and his feet and his voices, be of the same mind. Let us be of the same love. Let us count ourselves as less good than others, because he counted himself as less good than us. Let us be of the same mind in a world that is so divided by individual interests and goals and ideas. Let us serve his purpose rather than our own. The only purpose that really matters, that his love may be known.